Welcome to the Mail for Lee podcast. Today I'm your host, Kieran, and it's mailbag time. So mailbags all designed for you, our listeners, to send your questions or comments into us and allow us to answer those questions or comments. We answer them on our own personal experiences and the knowledge that we've collected and developed over the time that we've been in the fertility space, shall I say. If you'd like to send a message in, a question or a comment, please do so via our Instagram, which is the Mail for Fertility Podcast, simple as that. Or you can send us a message or email via the Mail for Fertility Podcast at gmail.com. Now, today's episode is going to be great. I've got six questions to answer. We're going to discuss the financial stresses of fertility. We're also going to discuss marijuana and its effect on fertility, what the research says. And also cycling, which is a question I often get asked as a PT. How does cycling affect male fertility? So let's get straight into it. And here we go. Okay, so question one. Did money worry you during your fertility treatment and how did you cope with the financial stresses? Now, honestly, it was a bit of a weird situation for us because we still had the financial stresses, but our first round of fertility treatment, we're on the NHS. However, we still had to pay for certain things like medication. And I distinctly remember being quite anxious and worried about receiving a bill for 800 quid for the medication that my wife needed. And then at the time, we were planning for additional add-ons that I now know maybe weren't necessary, but that's a different conversation. But it was incredibly stressful. Although the actual treatment itself was covered, we were still paying for certain aspects of it. And like many people going through fertility treatment at a younger age, me and my wife had just got married. We'd just paid for a wedding. We'd just come out of university. We'd successfully bought a house just before we started all our treatment. And we were paying through the teeth for it in some aspects. And then to have the additional costs of fertility on top, even though it wasn't the whole cut of the pie, It was difficult. It was really difficult. And it didn't help the anxiety, didn't help the stress levels. We'll talk about stress in a bit, but it was something that I was distinctly aware of. And as a man, I think I wanted control of finances in some way. I don't just spend for the fun of it. My wife might not listen to this, so I'm going to say it. Like, she likes to spend money, where I like to not keep it for a rainy day, but use it for more appropriate things. But going back to the question, it is incredibly stressful. I did the maths roughly, and before my son was born, we'd had roughly around about £45,000 worth of treatment. Like I said, that was covered by the NHS, the majority of it, but we probably were still putting up a good £5,000-6,000 of it. And we didn't have that kind of cash, not free running anyway, significantly stressful. But we did sit down and do a few things. We talk all the time on the podcast about the importance of talking, and especially when it comes to financial situations. I think with or without the fertility, talking about finances, it definitely makes things more easier. But this is what we did. We talked between us, so me and Jen would talk and not bottle up how we were feeling about it. And we would plan our dinners and our meals, plan when we were going to go out, what we were going to do. And there was one point where we couldn't afford to do much at all. So what we actually did was we bought Cineworld cards. Once a week, we went to the cinema. I think it was something like £15 at a time a month. And we could afford that. And we took ourselves to Milton Keynes because we lived around there. I went to the Cineworld there and we'd go once a week just to trip out. But it was something we budgeted for and it helped. Additionally, when we did have to pay for medication and other things, we did our research. Jen did her research, I should say. I should be honest about that. She was fantastic. She sourced the cheapest supplier when it came to things like medicine or medication, I should say. She found the cheapest supplier of it. And if I remember rightly, it was Asda's at the time. But I'm not name dropping. There are plenty other people supplying medication. But yeah, Asda's pharmacy. And it was quite significantly cheaper, I believe. But it was still a lot of money at the time for us. As I said, we didn't have a lot of boot cash. We were literally, everything was boot cashed. Yeah. Doing your research, finding out where to get the best product from. That includes treatment as well. Don't be afraid to ask other clinics about their fertility prices. How much does it cost? Because you might find that one is cheaper than the other and it might better suit you. So always do your research. Breaking things down in small manageable pieces makes things easier. And that includes with money. You can, as I said, budget. You can put money aside in small increments so you've got the money when you need it. That's one of the strategies that we used. We really did use it. We couldn't afford much at the time. So we, in between cycles, we'd put like £100 away each a month and miss out on other things because we needed to do it at the time. Also, I'd look at like payment plans and things. And we used a payment plan for my daughter, Enya, because we went private, and their payment plans basically mean you put up a lump sum, and if you're not successful, you get a percentage of that lump sum back. Ours was around about 75% if we hadn't been successful, and we got two cycles included in that. I'm not going to go into major details, but it is something that you can talk to a clinic about, but also research it. Once again, see what options are open to you, because I think you have to, if I remember rightly, we had to meet certain criteria to be eligible for it. And at the time we were, so we were lucky. I'd say if you're feeling stressed about it, seek support. We've talked about counselling before on the podcast, but talk to your clinic. There, as I said, there are payment plans available, but they've also been through this before. Like they've talked to thousands of people that are in a similar situation. So if you're finding finances stressful, talk to your clinic. Also reach out to charities like the Fertility Alliance and they'll be able to guide you and support you where needed. Question two, is there really a best age for a man to have children like there is for women? I'm worried I've left it too late. Now, this is a question that I don't think a lot of men particularly stress about too much. However, it does come up in conversation. I remember when we were going for my second child, I was 34, and I didn't know much about the effects of aging on male fertility at the time. But what I was aware of was, obviously, I had my own fertility issues, and I was concerned that might be affected by my age, so more significantly. With a little bit of research, I was reassured that male fertility doesn't reduce as drastically as female fertility does. We do have a slightly longer fertility life, shall I say? Is that a way to put it? I'm not sure. But the research does show that there is a reduction in success rate for men over the age of 45. That's taken in consideration things like after 40, your testosterone reduces and other factors like that. We naturally get old. We're getting older. Not super old, but at 40, I can say this now, and I'm starting to feel a bit older. I'm 39, I'm 40 next year. So it's natural to assume, and the research shows it, that body changes do occur. And one of those is obviously slightly declining fertility. So the answer to the question is, there's not as drastic reduction as there is for women, but you have to be aware of it. I think if you live a healthy lifestyle, implement things that we've talked about so many times on this podcast, and that's eating well, keeping active, exercising properly, sleeping properly, getting that 8 hours a night, trying to reduce your alcohol, cut it out completely if possible, and also reducing your stresses, it will, where possible, aid your sperm quality. It's just about living as healthy life as possible. So, yeah, that's how I would leave that question. Be aware of it. It is reducing. It does reduce after 40 in terms of just your fertility in general as a man, but it's not a drastic reduction. And try and live a healthier life as possible, as we all should be doing. Longevity is key. This is an interesting question, and I think it's something that a lot of men in this position won't necessarily ask because they are worried about being judged. So here we go. I've been a regular cannabis smoker for years and I'm trying for a baby. Could marijuana hurt my chances of becoming a dad? As I said, I think this is a really brave question because so many people would worry about their stigma. So thank you so much for sending this question in. I myself, I've never been a drug user, not marijuana anyway, or any kind of substance like that. My drug of choice was alcohol. I think we ignore the fact that alcohol is a drug. It's a socially acceptable drug, as in some circles, marijuana is. Yeah, this is a great question. I think it deserves a good solid answer here. So looked into this previously, and the research shows, obviously, smoking anything isn't good for your health. But how is it going to affect your fertility? So research suggests that the concentration is reduced of sperm. Motility is also reduced. And there's also an increase abnormal sperm in sperm shape, which, you know, if you look into just how marijuana, cannabis, whatever you want to call it, affects the human body, there has been some suggestion that it's good for certain things. But in the most part, because you're smoking it, it's going into your lungs, it's causing damage. And that has a knock-on effect on your fertility. There is some good news, though. There is research that it is reversible. I don't know the specifics of that. But if you stop smoking in general, even if it's not cannabis, just smoking in general, your body can repair it in some, to some sense. So yeah, if you are a regular smoker or a regular cannabis user, by stopping, you're giving yourself the best chance to recover and to become the dad you want to be. Because as I said, the research shows that it does have an effect. Like I said, there's a lot of stigma to this. And I think a lot of people were like, I don't know how to stop. I don't know where to go. Go to your GP. If it's something that you're truly invested in doing in terms of stopping smoking, they're not going to judge you. They're going to thank you for being honest and going to them. There are programs in place to support people. They're not going to call the police and you're not going to be carted off. It doesn't work like that. You're putting your hands up and saying, look, I need some help here. Generally, my experience is that if you put your hands up and you ask for help, people are more willing than you'd anticipate them to help. Get down your GP and have that open and honest conversation with them and explain to them why you want to give up. Yeah, and take that first step. First step of many in relation to your fertility road, because it is a tough one. Yeah. That's what I know about the effects of marijuana on fertility.
We want to tell you about Impril, the unique supplement for conception, which is recommended by fertility specialists for both men and women. We know that poor nutrition is one of the leading causes of infertility, but we are also aware that it's practically impossible to maintain a diet that's perfectly balanced, especially for conception. Choosing the right supplement can be confusing. Many multivitamins contain strong antioxidants, which may actually damage sperm quality. Impril is made from activated micronutrients, which help every cell within the human body, from the biggest, the egg, to the smallest, the sperm. These micronutrients have been clinically proven to significantly improve live birth rates for men and women who have previously been struggling to get pregnant. You can find out more and hear from couples who have used Impril by visiting fertilityfamily.co.uk. If you decide this is for you, there's a 10% discount just for our listeners. So make a note of the code MFPODCAST10. That's capital M, capital F, podcast, all in lowercase, 10.
The next question my wife throws at eggs, is there a male version of this? Can men freeze their sperm? Just in case. Yes, you can. It's called sperm cryopreservation. And basically you contact your clinic, if you're in a clinic, or you contact the sperm bank and you can arrange to freeze your sperm. There's a process to it. I've never been through it myself. I've had it in relation to the treatment that I've had, but I didn't specifically freeze some just in case, not off my own back. During our treatment, at certain points, I had samples frozen in case I couldn't produce a sample another day due to anxiety or a change in my own condition. Things were low anyway, like they could get worse. Clinics tend to safeguard patients like that, male patients like that. They will ask you to give frozen samples. You may be given that option. Doesn't always happen, but you might be given it. I was. But yeah, there is. And there's been studies showing that people have gone on to have children years later after freezing their sperm, using the frozen sperm for treatment, either because of illness or their own condition has deteriorated. Yeah, so it can have really positive outcomes. Speak to your clinic or contact a sperm bank. Have that open conversation with a professional. Yeah, it's definitely possible. Now, this is one of my, I think, my favorite topics in relation to male fertility and exercise. So I'm going to read the question and then we'll go into it. So I cycle to work every day and I just read that cycling can cause harm to a man's fertility. Should I be worried? Now, this is a genuine, like, justified question. I think there's a lot on the internet that doesn't look into the data as deep as it should do. My personal opinion is that you have to really look at why you're cycling. So for this person, for example, it's getting to work, like it's almost unavoidable. There are precautions you can take to help reduce those risks. When I started my own fertility journey all those years ago, I cut out cycling and it had one of the most dramatic impacts on my mental health because I used to do a lot of downhill mountain biking. I used to go away to Scotland and to the Alps and to Wales. We used to go cycling all over the place. And it was a big part of my life. On top of that, I spent a fortune on a bike. That all I wanted to do was ride it. And suddenly I had to park it because everything on the internet at the time and everyone that I was talking to, professionals wise, were saying, yeah, you shouldn't cycle. So what does the research say? So when clients ask me this question, for me, it's about time duration on the bike and also the intensity. If cycling is such a big part of your life, it will impact your mental health if you don't cycle and increase stress. You have to look at how you can implement it while keeping a balance. I suggest to my clients that they don't spend any more than between 30 minutes and 40 minutes on a bike at a time, and they do it a couple of times a week if it's that important. There's a wide-ranging amount of research out there. Some says that you shouldn't do any of it. The studies have shown that there's been a significant impact from people just riding generally, even for short periods. And there's other research out there that shows that there's a drastic drop off in fertility health in men after around about 5 hours of cycling, 4 to 5 hours. So yeah, as I said, it's about looking at why you're doing it. Is it necessary at that time? Can you go 3 months without it if you're building up for a cycle? If you answer yes to that, it's better to avoid it. Why put something in that could potentially cause harm? But it's subjective to each individual. If you feel that it will be detrimental to your mental health not to cycle, like I said, reduce the amount you're cycling, no more than 30 to 45 minutes, and then reduce the intensity. So you're slowing right down. You're not going full out. You're just going for a pedal, and you should still be able to talk and interact with people while you're cycling. All right. We call it zone 2 training. You should have a little bit of a swell, but you can still talk and it's not drastically taxing on you. Additionally to that, get rid of the narrow seats. Try and get a bigger padded seat so it's, your weight is distributed and not sat on your nutsack because they're just going to heat up. Make sure you wear shorts that are nice and thin and enable your testicles to breathe and keep cool. There are some saddles now that are specifically designed to aid that. You'll have a hole in the middle of the saddle, just allows air ventilation, helps keep you cool. I wouldn't say they're specifically designed to in mind of these are going to keep men's balls cool, but they're designed to just keep you cool in general. So yeah, do your research, find a good saddle, and yeah, there's something else you can do. Like I said, duration, intensity, and equipment are the key things. And if in doubt, just leave it out. Final question. I've been under a lot of stress lately and we're struggling to conceive. Can stress really make a man infertile? Great question. Okay. I think a lot of men question whether their stress levels are impacting their fertility when they get that diagnosis or when they can't conceive. Now, it's impossible. This is my perspective and my knowledge, because I've been talked to so many people, so many professionals. I think it's impossible to pin stress solely, or your male factor infertility or decreased fertility solely on stress, but it is a contributing factor. Higher cortisol levels can drastically reduce testosterone. And as we all know, testosterone is the key hormone, or one of the key hormones, for male fertility. So that alone ticks that box. So yes, stress can affect male infertility. It is subjective to each individual, but there are things you can do to help reduce it. I think one, being aware of your anxieties or your stress levels is a massive tick in the box, because what you can then do is plan to reduce those stresses. For example, if you have a highly stressful job, as you're approaching treatment, you may be able to organize work so it's a little bit less stressful. You may be able to put in for a little bit of holiday just when you need it. You may be able to organize your life so you can do activities that reduce your stress, like exercise or spending time with the wife, or spending time for socializing with friends, or going to watch the motor racing, whatever helps you relax. You'll be able to plan and implement that. And it's incredibly difficult. I have clients who come to me with every intention of reducing their stress, but they find it hard because they feel like they have to keep up with the world's expectations of them. If you are really good at your job, you're always anticipated to be good at your job. And if it's a high profile job, or any job in fact, the standard of work that you produce is always judged. So you feel that extra stress. But I feel that it's important that people communicate with their employers and are honest with them, saying, look, we're going through this. Is there any way we can help reduce my stress for this period of time? Just to give me the best shot. And if an employer turns around and says, argues it or says no, you have to rethink things. You'll have to rethink how you're going to reduce that stress. But for the most part, from people that I've talked to, very positive conversations. That's what I'd say. Try and reduce those stresses at work. Do things that make you happy and take the stress, or help to reduce stresses that you're experiencing. And acknowledge them is one of the biggest things you can do, especially around times where life's stressful. I don't know how else to put it, really. It's an incredibly tough thing, but it can have a significant effect on male fertility. If you're stressed, look at it, accept it, acknowledge it, put a plan in place. So that's it for the postbag today. Remember, guys, you're not on your own in this. We are here to help you as much as possible. When me and Sean set out on this mission, that's all we ever wanted to do. And hearing from you guys really is an amazing thing. And we're so pleased we can help support so many men and their partners through this. You're not on your own, guys. So please follow and rate the podcast where possible. You can find us on Instagram at the Male Fertility Podcast, or you can send us an email at themalefertilitypodcast@gmail.com. Additionally, you can sign up to our free men-only community at nexusfertility.com. That's N-E-X-Y-S, fertility.com. And become part of the community. And we want to give a voice to as many men as possible. We want to support as many guys as possible through this often challenging and lonely journey. You're not on your own, lads. Until the next time, have a good one. Thanks for listening. If you found value in today's conversation, please follow the show and share with someone who might benefit.